Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to BLS International Services Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. The statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties which are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shikhar Aggarwal, Joint MD from BLS International Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shikhar Aggarwal.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to all of you, and thank you for participating in our earnings call for the quarter ended 30th September 2023. I have on call with me today Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Managing Director, Mr. Amit Sudhakar, Chief Financial Officer of the company, and Mr. Gaurav Chugh, who has recently joined us as Head of Investor Relations, and Adfactors, our IR team. I'm happy to share our recent developments and achievements during the last few months and our future plans for the company. We have set the stage for an exciting journey in the current fiscal year, commencing on a strong note with promising financial results for the second quarter of financial year 2024. Our business continues to witness growth momentum as well as strong profitability. We saw highest-ever EBITDA being reported by the company, and in addition, our EBITDA margins continue to be in excess of 20%. On the given basis, we believe that this momentum will continue for the foreseeable future. Any new contracts or acquisition will further add to this momentum. Regarding the industry we operate in, we believe the outsourcing market, particularly the visa outsourcing market, has been expanding rapidly, with many new countries scouting for partners who can facilitate visa as well as consular services for them. Additionally, the travel industry continues on a trajectory of revival worldwide. This global recovery is expected to translate into a surge in visa applications, fueling the growth of our visa business. Month-on-month, we are witnessing a steady upward trend driven by both growth in applications as well as improving realizations. The last quarter has been quite eventful for us. In our visa business, we signed up with the Government of Slovakia to offer outsourced visa services across 18 countries. This is an exclusive global visa contract. Slovakia is fast becoming a sought-after tourism destination for travelers across the globe. We also recently opened up new application centers in Beijing, China, for the Spanish Embassy. As China is opening up, we expect to see further growth in volumes from the region. This growth could also be complemented with further opening in CIS countries. Furthermore, we recently expanded our operations in Saudi Arabia and Nigeria, where we have opened new offices. These offices also will further help enhance our visa service business. On the digital service front, I am thrilled to share a significant milestone achieved by our subsidiary, BLS E-Services. We have successfully integrated Umang services into our digital platform. This strategic collaboration with the National E-Governance Division aims to make over 500 e-governance services easily available. This integration underscores our commitment to provide seamless and convenient access to citizens, both in India and overseas, and in multiple languages. In addition, BLS E-Services also tied up with Kotak Mahindra Bank for offering banking correspondent services. Looking ahead, our focus remains twofold: growing both our visa consular services and digital service business organically and exploring opportunities for inorganic growth in India as well as abroad. We continue to be optimistic about the ongoing fiscal and are committed to fostering growth. In conclusion, I want to emphasize our confidence in the next few quarters. The BLS team is resilient and committed to growth in both our segments. We firmly believe that the strategies we adopt would pave the way for a bright future for BLS International Services in the coming years. Thank you for your continued trust and support. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Amit Sudhakar, our CFO, for an update on our financial performance. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm pleased to present the financial performance for the second quarter and half-year ending September 30th, 2023. In Q2 FY24, we recorded a revenue of 407.7 crores, a 14.3% YOY increase, driven by both business segments, visa and digital services. We continue to witness growth in both our business segments and are optimistic about sustained growth in the coming quarters. During this quarter, our EBITDA stood at 86.7 crores compared to 56.8 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, witnessing a growth of 52.7%. The EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 21.27%, an increase of  535 basis points compared to the corresponding quarter last year. Cost optimization, higher volumes, and favorable business mix helped expand the EBITDA margin for the quarter. Profit before tax stood at 87.2 crore, a growth of 55% over the corresponding previous quarter. The profit after tax for the quarter stood at 82 crore as compared to 51 crore in the previous corresponding quarter, strong growth of 60.8%. The earnings per share for the quarter stood at 3.59 rupees per share as compared to 2.46 rupees in Q2 FY23. Coming to the half-year performance, the half-year revenue stood at 791.2 crore, growth of 25.6% versus corresponding previous period. EBITDA for the H1 FY24 stood at 166.8 crore compared to 88.3 crore in the corresponding half-year last year, witnessing a growth of 88.9%. EBITDA margin for H1 FY24 stood at 21.1% versus 14% in H1 FY23, an expansion of 706 basis points. Profit after tax, PAT, stood at 153 crore as compared to 81.7 crore in the previous corresponding half-year, a growth of 87.3%. That is all from my side. We can now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much to give me this opportunity first time as a first speaker. Sir, you are doing a really fantastic tailwind with our business. We are doing very fantastic things. This enhanced margin will continue in H2. What is your expectation?
Amit? So thanks for joining the call. See, margins, if you see from last year, we were around EBITDA margins were in the range of 15%-16%. Now, in the current year, we are maintaining it around 20s, in our 20s. And we see the potential that we should be able to continue these margins in the coming quarters.
Okay. Okay. And sir, how many more visa contracts we have applied, and what is success rate we can expect from them?
Well, see, we are on the ongoing business practice. We keep on applying for different tenders. And as you have seen, in the last 1.5 years, we have won a lot of tenders for different governments. Recently, we won a contract for Slovakia, different European governments, Germany, Italy, Poland, Portugal. And we also renewed our contract for the Spanish government. So definitely, we keep on applying for different tenders. And as we have told before, there's a big pipeline. And out of this pipeline, only some of the tenders we are winning, and some of the results are to be announced. So as and when everything is done, we will be announcing.
So this 80% visa volume can we expect in next few years also?
Correct.
Yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I am not able to listen, that's why I rewound. And sir, how we utilize this 700 crore cash, which we are having, and because the ROC is 35%, so how you achieve 35% ROC in future? This is my question.
Sure. So what we are seriously looking at, which we have talked about in our last call also, we are looking at seriously at new acquisitions in the similar field. And as well as Chikhar said, we are bidding for big contracts. So we may need some funding requirements for setting up new offices. So we are going to use this fund for these.
This big contract in visa service?
In both in visa as well as digital services. So we are bidding in both the segments.
Understand, sir. All the best. Thank you very much to give the full reply.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza. Go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Okay. So, firstly, with respect to the rate of growth in the digital services, we can clearly see that the digital services business is growing more than twice the rate of the visa and consular services. And, its share in the revenue pie is also increasing. So first question is, how much for how long will this sustain, and what will be the effect, say 2 years or 3 years down the line, the share of the digital services business?
So see, digital service business as we stand today is around 21% of our entire visa of the entire revenue of the company. Base was quite small compared to last year. That is why we grew quite well. But as you know that this company, we have big plans for growth of this e-services business also. In the next few years also, we can see good growth coming in from different future contracts that we are eyeing, acquisitions and digital services. So I think growth momentum should continue.
In both of
We can expect, so expect similar kind of growth or maybe higher going forward for the next 2-3 years.
Percentage, I don't know. I cannot comment on the percentages, but as you have seen our track record, we have been focused on the growth. So definitely, next few years also we are targeting growth.
Okay. And with respect to the stay, so we had also applied for the listing of the e-services business. What is the status of that? Is there any update from the SEBI with respect to that?
So we, as per the norms, so we have filed our DRHP with SEBI, and as and when we get the approval, depends on the approval that whenever we get it, we will be listing the company. And as we have stated that, we want money coming into the company, so and that will be utilized for further growth of the company.
Okay. And just a comment on the visa space specifically. Now, because of the conflict that has happened in the Middle Eastern region, we also have a certain amount of business in that region. So how much of an impact has that had on the business? And do you see this business impacting other regions such as Europe or adjacent areas? Can you comment on that?
Right. Now see, we operate in a global environment. We operate in 64 countries. We work with 40+ governments. So for us, this first of all, this event has not particularly impacted our business. So our revenue, as you have seen, have grown, even in the last quarter. Definitely, there is zero impact for us. But as we are a global company, different events keep on happening in different parts of the world. But on an annual basis, it does not hardly matter.
Till now, we are not seeing.
Okay. That's it for. I'll join in the queue.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supan Parekh, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, hi. So I'd like to ask about the IPO. So you plan to propose an IPO of DLS e-services. So, like, what is the aim for that? Like, could you elaborate much on that?
See, it has been filed with the DRHP has been filed with SEBI. So, we can say that the whole idea of the IPO is to, for the funds will be for the growth capital of the company, because we see a big potential of growing this digital business into a first in India and then globally. And for that, we are looking at this growth capital for the digital business at the moment.
Okay. So, like, what is the future roadmap for this PLS e-services?
I think once the SEBI approval comes in, we will share the roadmap and the presentation on the whole business.
Okay. No problem. So next question I'd like to ask, like, the current growth rate and EBITDA margin, is that sustainable for long term? I like, what are the things like you are looking out for the next quarter or this fiscal year? Like,
yeah, as we have stated, I think we already answered that question, that,
yeah,
you know, for a long time we were doing EBITDA margin of 15-16%, and from first quarter this we achieved a margin of 20%, and we have sustained that in the second quarter also. So, you know, we are every day we are working very hard, you know, to obviously sustain and improvise. So definitely, I think from where we stand, we feel that we can sustain the margins.
Okay. And also on the purpose of the cash utilization. So this quarter has been like has been highly cash generative. So what are the company's plan regarding the utilization of cash in the coming quarters?
See, we are very conservative in effective utilization of the money. And so, as you know, that, you know, this cash that you've generated is because of the hard work that the company has done from the inception.
Yeah.
So definitely, we are looking at particular opportunities, and as and when, you know, we think that it qualifies all our conditions, we will be going in for acquisitions. Other than that, we are, you know, regularly, companies paying dividends to the shareholders, and the opportunities that we foresee, you know, money will be utilized in growth, you know, opening new offices on technology, everything else.
Okay. So I'm just shifting my questions right now. Like, say, the I'm seeing, like, the volumes have recovered from China. So what are the expectations with the Russian right now?
See, volumes, pre-COVID, definitely we are better than, you know, what we were doing in COVID in China. Now things are started opening up. We've also opened our offices. In Russia, still, the volumes are low. So if you talk about, the numbers that we've achieved, still, you know, from 2019 level, we have not achieved, the volumes are not back, but still, revenue and profitability is higher.
Okay. So, like, we can expect it to go, like, moving forward, it can go up.
Correct. This is not the base volume. So base volume, the other 19 level, we still have not reached.
Okay. And that the impact of Canada issue been so far, like, how has that impacted us?
Zero. I don't think there was any impact, as we have stated also, that the visa business was our annual 2% of our annual revenue, and that has also come back. That business has also come back. So, we don't see any impact from the Canada business.
Okay. And also, like, the last question I want to ask is that the status of UK tender, is there any progress in terms of this thing, like winning any geographies?
No, there is no status. You know, we are filing for many tenders, and as and when results are announced and we are notified, we'll inform.
Okay, sure. Thank you. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vicky Patel from Artika Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats on the good set of numbers, sir. My first question is, I would like to know, like, any recent news we heard that regarding the Egyptian embassy. So what is the current status? Are we, like, have they denied to work with BLS or?
No. See, we work for them as one of our, we are one of the authorized partners. There is an exclusive contract with them. So numbers are quite negligible from the start and still. So no one has denied, but we are not the exclusive partner. They have, Egypt does not follow exclusive outsourcing policy anywhere in the world. So, yeah, that is the status.
Okay. And sir, the ongoing Israel situation, so will it affect the current our current line of business?
No, actually, we have not seen any impact on it, and we see strong growth in our numbers.
Okay. And so the revenue, the total income has grown, I think, roughly 14-15%. So do we see a similar range of growth in the coming second half of the year?
Whatever we have achieved, I think we, I think our wish is definitely to maintain it, and we are working hard towards that.
Okay. And sir, there has been a rise in the interest cost. The short-term borrowings or the long-term borrowings have not increased. So can you, if you could please throw some light there, why has there been an increase in the interest cost?
See, the interest cost is mainly because of the new accounting standard AS116, where the lease right of lease has been booked in the assets, and the expense has been routed through the depreciation and the interest. But there is no debt on the books, and there is no interest payment in the financial charges.
Okay. And also, employee cost as a percentage of sales has increased if you see YOY. So is this because of the increments, or we are expanding the manpower?
Right. So it's, you are right. It is because of both. The increments have been there for to the existing employees, and currently the company is investing in people at the senior, at the middle level to ensure the growth which we are planning to do in the next couple of quarters.
Okay, thank you so much for the clarity, sir, and I wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza. Go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. One thing what I wanted to ask was, on the fixed asset, we have seen an approximate 24-25 crore of a difference. So how much of a more capex for fixed asset and other equipment are we looking ahead? For the S2 and FY25 also, if you can.
So Omkar, this is the capex which is showing in the balance sheet at the, for the increment is mainly during this half year is mainly due to the accounting standard of use of assets which we have leased.
Okay, so the leased assets, the leased liability, leased, okay, it's that.
Otherwise,
okay.
We normally have a normal operation capex or in the range of 15 to 20 crore in a year.
Okay, so that would be the steady state 15 to 20 crores capex that we do annually. That would also continue at FY25. Okay. And with respect to, I was not able to catch the number. What was the volume growth in the number of visa applications that we did for the period?
Volume, we don't, normally declare the exact volume, so we need to check this weekend.
Okay. So that as a suggestion, just if it is possible, if you could add that bit on the investor presentation, that would be very helpful. I mean,
sure, we'll keep that in mind.
Because what would happen is because we can see in the EBITDA that the EBITDA margins have increased, and because the high margin business of the digital services is increasing, so we could break it down as to how much of the revenue.
High margin is in the visa business.
Oh, so that is right. So if the volumes there are also going to pick up, the margins would also meaningfully pick up. So that
definitely
would become
give us a better. Volumes there will increase further.
So the analysis becomes much easier for us. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Venkatesh, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shikhar. Hi, Nikhil. Congrats on the great set of quarter. Couple of questions from my side. I want to know from the tender pipeline for the visa business, would you be able to provide the split on the re-tenders and the new tenders that we are in? And secondly, would you be able to provide the split in the EBITDA for the visa and the e-business? And would you be able to provide more details on the ZMPL business? Like, I think before we had like Punjab, UP and all, we used to provide some details, some color on that. So would you be able to, Sorry.
By whatever tenders that we're currently doing, we have retained and we have re-won one our tender. So if you see Spain tender also, we again re-won in April for the next 5 years at an increased service charge. And we recently won tenders like for the Slovakia government, there's a global tender that we have won for Visa. And we won tenders for Portugal, Poland, Germany, Italy, you know, couple of governments that we've started working for within this year. So definitely there has been a growth in number of governments that we're working for. And going forward, as I've been telling, there are multiple opportunities in visa outsourcing. Different governments are coming out with tenders in different geographies, which we're eyeing for. Out of this, some of them announce the results like Slovakia, which we have announced. And so other governments, as in when, you know, we are working on it, as in when results are announced, we'll be announcing. But the opportunity size is quite huge. There are many governments which are outsourcing for the first time, and there are many governments which are coming out for the re-tenders. That is on the visa business. And on ZMPL, you know, ZMPL, which is part of BLS e-services, as you have declared that you have already grown, I think more than 100% in that business, you know, compared to last year. We see, you know, we have already won a lot of contracts with new banks like Kotak Mahindra and different banks. You know, we have tied up with different government things like Umang, you know. So we see further growth happening in that. We have now started, before we were already in public sector business. Now we've also started the private sector business with tie-up with HDFC, Kotak, couple of other banks. So we see huge growth coming in that business, and from that reason only, you know, we wanted to list that company separately, and as and when growth capital comes, it will be utilized for growing the company further.
Great. And I have one request from my side. Like, would you be able to provide some sort of, say, during the IPO, some sort of for the employee or for pre-investors who are already invested with BLS as a priority for getting the IPO?
See, we have to follow what the SEBI rules. So whatever SEBI rules allow, we can only work on that.
Okay, great. And what is the growth guidance for the next year, for the FY 25? I think last call you had iterated that it will be like somewhere north of 50 or 60%.
We have not given any guidance, I think, till now, but for any percentages terms. But
okay.
As you know, whatever growth that we've achieved in the first two quarters, we wish to maintain that.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, and all the best, Shikhar and Nikhil. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhvani Shah from Investec Capital Services India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity. One question was on digital services. You all saw the highest margins this quarter of close to 14%. So can you explain the drivers for the same and the sustainability of it?
So, in digital business, this quarter, there was a new contract which we have won. And under that, they have given us an advance, which was part of the new revenue in the business. So that has increased the revenue in the current by about 3 crores, and that has impacted the bottom line.
Okay, so the cost for it will be booked in the future.
That's right. The CapEx costs, which we have done in that case, in this case.
Okay, got that. And also, just to confirm, the previous participant asked about ZMPL. So you said the growth has been 100% YOY. If I'm not wrong, the YOY, the previous quarter that was reported was close to 40 crores from ZMPL. So the 100% growth on that was around 800 million. Is that correct? Or can you just
now, if you see this quarter, the revenue that we have done from digital business is around 82 crores, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
90 crores.
For digital business, we have done 85 crores, which is compared to 68 crores. No, this is quarter two FY 23.
Yeah, quarter two is 901 as reported.
I think we need some segment. This inter-segment, I don't know which numbers are you talking about. Can you see exactly?
As reported in your NDA, segmental revenue of 900.72.
So that it may have an inter-company netting off in that.
Okay.
Because the inter-company segment gets, under that you write that minus.
Fair enough. So how much of the ZMPL of this?
Can't hear you.
How much would be ZMPL?
How much? Yeah.
structure. One second. ZMPL is for the quarter Q2 is about 49 crores.
Got it, yeah. So that's over last quarter, which was last year, which was 40. Okay.
45 last quarter. Q1 it was 45. And last year 40, right?
Last year 40.
Last year
40. Okay, understood. And in terms of the visa volume recovery for the year FY24, do you expect to close around at least 75 to 80% of the higher levels of FY19, considering China has opened up and Russia is in initial stages?
Correct. I think we definitely expect the numbers to be higher than last year. And last year, I think we achieved around 65 to 70% of the numbers. So this year, okay, it should be closing at 75 to 80%, definitely.
Okay. And just one more question on the realization for visa application. Are you seeing significant growth there after the Spanish contract, which was at increased levels?
No, actually, you know what, this is not because of any particular contract. Definitely, our service charges from contracts have gone up in the last few years, but also the consumer pattern has changed. So demand for different kind of services has also increased. So in the last few years, you know, after COVID, you know, constantly we strive to offer more services. So we have seen, increase in revenue per application from the last 2-3 years.
Understood. And just one more question. This quarter has witnessed some kind of seasonality in the visa and consular services with higher international, European country visa applications. And that could be a reason for the higher gross margin. Is that a correct assumption?
Definitely, in this business, seasonality is there. But since we are operating in a global environment, seasonality does not impact hugely in terms. But if you talk about the EBITDA margins, they are particularly not because of seasonality, because EBITDA margins are counted per application basis. So, we have seen, rationalization of cost and increase in revenue. That is why there has been a higher EBITDA margins.
Okay, now actually I was referring more to the gross margins and EBITDA margins, I understand. Just wanted a little bit more color on the gross margin improvement.
Sorry, Amit?
I wanted more color on the gross margin improvement.
So gross margin has been on the similar line. If you see Q1 versus Q2, they have been on the same line, about, I think, around 57% or so.
Okay. Thank you so much.
The cost has been around that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. Request participants to get in touch with investor relation team for further queries. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shikhar Agarwal for his closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you everyone for taking your time out to participate in BLS International's earning call today. Wish you all very happy and prosperous Deepavali. In case of any further queries, you may get in touch with Gaurav Chuk, our head of investor relations, or Adfactor PR. We look forward to interacting with you next quarter. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of BLS International Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.